Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Just focusing on what really matters and takes you to your vision is what's key for us. Because you'll find, you know, there will be a lot of people in the world who will believe, you know, things are not possible for you, but it doesn't add to your life. You're better off following people who believe great things are possible.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with mortgage brokers and property twins, Sana and Mona Ali. They will uncover their strategy for building a portfolio worth over $5 million, discuss why it's important to do what's right for you rather than what everyone else is doing, and what they predict for the Australian market. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. So, what held them back from initially investing into property?
For me, it was analysis paralysis, Tarun, and just the belief to call the shots. And I personally found when you're looking at way too many options, it's really hard to choose what will work for you. So look at, you know, what are the priorities and go with that. Well, I would say I don't think that I ever had any issues with it, because I did have clients who were high net worth individuals at PwC, and I had seen people who had started with nothing and built their own empires as my clients. So I personally did not have any challenges in going head on with investing.
Their clients achieved their level of success by thinking beyond their limitations.
Also, you need to think beyond. Sometimes people may limit what you can or can't do. They may say, well, no, this is unachievable. But you need to have an open mind. You need to put down the numbers on paper. You need to make projections. And I can understand, you know, people may have limitations, say with the lending environment today. But what is the one thing that you can do to move forward? And if you don't take that action, does that mean that you will be further behind in future, really? So take that first step and then keep improving on your circumstances.
To overcome challenges such as the limited lending environment, shaping your mindset is paramount to your progression.
I can only tell you about how we work with our clients, and which is with a lot of focus on why they're doing what they're doing. Because, you know, buying property is just one part of it, but what's more important is what's their goal, how that will their life change if they took action, and how will their life remain static or go backwards if they did not take action. And when you do dig deeper, people have different reasons for doing things, and working through that can open up a lot of doors and, you know, open up people's mind about what they're doing and how they're doing it. And also, people should really look at the structures that they have in place from a finance perspective, because often we do find that people do get hung up on, say, the interest rate, that they want the lowest rate. But what if it's the most unsuitable thing for them to do? What if they had a lender which charges them a bit higher rate, but it enables them to move forward with their investing?
Resources which have helped Mona and Sana to condition their own mindsets came from personal development experts such as Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins.
Actually, it was nothing about property as such when it came to mindset, but about improving our mindset by looking at different speakers and authors. Like Jim Rohn, for me, is an inspiration, and just listening to those things to influence your mindset on how you approach things, really.
And for me, it was Dr. Wayne Dyer. So I started reading his books in my early 20s, and it really made a huge difference for me personally.
When recommending to listeners what they can do to hone their own personal development, they believe it comes from within.
There's no right way of doing things. I would suggest just start looking at what are your limiting beliefs, what's stopping you from moving forward, and examine that, and look out for speakers that you really connect with. And a few that influenced us were Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, to name a few. And read books. There's definitely some really good books out there, like Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, The Richest Man in Babylon. Then there is Slight Edge. There's a few good books out there as well. And just being very focused on what you want life to look like in the next 5 years. You don't need a book or a mentor to tell you that. Only you can answer that for yourself.
The Alis didn't seek mentors as such, but were content with extracting information from seminars and forums and then using it to create their own strategy.
We did go on to the Somersoft forums, and we read a lot about what other people had achieved and their stories. But in terms of one formal mentor, we never had a formal mentor.
For property,
that is. So we formulated our strategy. We listened to what other people were doing and came up with what suited our circumstances, really. We never went to seminars apart from initial days. We did go to one buyer's agency seminars for a couple of sessions, but we got the value out of it that we needed and applied it to our own journey. But we've never followed any reports as such or any hotspots or, those experts that say, well, you should be investing here or there. We just follow our own research.
Rather than the best advice they have received, a question someone asked made them realize what their rinse and repeat strategy had come to be.
I think it was in Brisbane when we were purchasing in Brisbane, and we couldn't decide what was best suited to us at the time. And someone asked us, what are you trying to achieve with this purchase? And then it really highlighted to us that all our properties have been really well located with infrastructure, shops, train, all those aspects. And that really clicked for us. And, we just repeated that same process.
That's where the population growth will happen. And that's where you'll find you can build townhouses or units. And it was not really advice, I would say, but more of a reinforcement of what we've already done. And someone just brought it to light.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Sana and Mona's property investing strategy for building a successful portfolio.
I mean, obviously, looking at the cost benefit, doing a cost benefit analysis of what we were doing, but at the same time, looking at what's the opportunity cost of not taking action now.
What and where to buy in the future market.
And then look at property cycles and see, wherever they're buying, whether it be Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, or anywhere in Australia, where is that particular city in the property cycle and how it's going to enable them to expand their portfolio.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. I just wanted to let you know about the podcast show notes I've created for you that you can download at freepropertyresource.com. Inside these show notes, I've included a full summary, details of the resources recommended, plus much, much more. Just go to freepropertyresource.com to grab it now. It's free, and it'll make the rest of the episode so much more impactful. Again, that's freepropertyresource.com. Now back to the show. Having built a portfolio worth over $5 million, some of the key steps that Sana and Mona took to do this was to analyze both the cost and the opportunity at hand.
But buying when we can, where we can, as quickly as we can, that was the key.
And not looking at the cost side of things. I mean, obviously, looking at the cost benefit, doing a cost benefit analysis of what we were doing, but at the same time, looking at what's the opportunity cost of not taking action now, especially before the Sydney or when the Sydney market started rising. We made quick decisions and jumped in to buy a couple of properties at that point in time. We could have argued that, oh, we have to pay lender's mortgage insurance or the rate is a bit higher, but then we would not have made the hundreds and thousands of dollars that we made on those purchases.
So keeping focus on your end goal rather than little distractions in the middle.
So how did the Allies ensure they overcame their analysis paralysis in order to invest at the right time?
Just having the vision and a drive to make it happen for us.
And persistence
and persevering towards our goal, and just knowing that we had to get out of our own way to achieve something, and the reinforcement of why we were doing it. Because if your why is big enough, the how is easy, and keep focus on your end goal.
While there have been no changes to their current buy and hold strategy, they do have plans to further add to their already growing portfolio.
In the future, we do intend to purchase between Parramatta and Penrith, and these would be development sites where we are able to subdivide properties so we can, you know, multiply our portfolio.
It can be challenging to predict how the market will fare in the future. Therefore, it can be daunting for property investor beginners to know what to look for. So, what can you do?
For those starting out today, they should really look at clarifying their goals on whether they want the security of their own home or whether they're okay to continue renting by investment properties. And then look at property cycles and see, you know, wherever they're buying, whether it be Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, or anywhere in Australia, where is that particular city in the property cycle and how it's going to enable them to expand their portfolio. And also look at the cash flow side of things and how, you know, the cash flow will impact their lifestyle if they bought in Sydney or Melbourne, or whether they were okay to buy in a city like Brisbane where the rental yields are much better.
And I'd also suggest, like, a lot of people in Sydney and Melbourne would have seen the markets have increased significantly, to tap into your equity now before the market turns so you can deploy your funds to another city, interstate, where you believe the property cycle is moving and expected to grow over the next 5 years. Because what that means is you can capitalize from one region, move on to the next, and follow the property cycle across Australia. But most of our Sydney and Melbourne clients are buying in Queensland at the moment, so there is definitely opportunity to extract equities and move forward from there.
I would say Brisbane has good potential. Perth has been falling for some time. I don't know if it's flattened or where it's at right now because we're not following that market, but do think there are other markets potentially in Queensland where people should look.
Some personal habits which Sana and Mona attribute to their success are listening to motivational content and communicating with their business mentor.
Yeah, we listen to a lot of audios for mindset purposes. We find that, you know, sometimes there are influences outside of yourself which may impact you. And we have found listening to other successful people very powerful in our own journey. When we were leading up to leave our corporate jobs, in some days we were listening to 5, 6, or 7 audios at a time, and it really helped us shift that mindset and that have that expectancy that, you know, we will do well or we are doing well and we are aiming high.
And something else that helps us is keeping in touch with our business mentor. So we talk almost every day. It may not be a phone conversation, but we exchange messages every day. And, yeah, just having that sounding board and surrounding ourselves with other successful people, that's been very important. Working towards letting go of any distractions which get into our way towards our goals, and just focusing on what really matters and takes you to your vision is what's key for us. Because you'll find, you know, there will be a lot of people in the world who will believe, you know, things are not possible for you, but it doesn't add to your life. You're better off following people who believe great things are possible.
Sometimes we wish we could just go back in time and tell ourselves what needs to be done to do better in the future. So what would Mona and Sana say to themselves from 10 years ago?
I would tell myself I should start saving today for multiple investment properties, not one investment property. Or at that time, actually, it didn't even cross my mind because we were 21 at that stage. So the key advice would be start saving, get a team around you, like our mentor, for example, the way we work with our clients and how our mentor has worked with his clients and has trained us in is looking at long-term goals for our clients and mapping out the portfolio for the client, because you may be earning a certain amount today, but you know, 5 years later you may have great potential to increase your income. So helping build that map, that roadmap to move forward.
Yeah, and for me, Tara, and 10 years ago, I would say don't hand your power to other authorities, be that at work or in your peers, to tell you what you're capable of achieving and what's really possible for you to build a better life, because you are in charge of what you need to do in life and to get to your goals. If you hand over your power to others, you've already lost that battle. And 10 years ago, I would say, look, you can do anything in life, whatever you want to achieve, just go and do it, rather than letting outside voices govern what you can and can't do.
Because often it is people that and their own limiting beliefs that they impose on you. So it's important to put them aside and say, what is it that I want in life?
And if they've achieved what I want to achieve, and if they haven't achieved what I want to achieve, then does it even matter what they're saying?
If you wish to connect with Sana and Mona Ali to learn more from them about their investing strategy or find out how they can assist you through their broking services, you can do so via phone, email, or social media.
And as you know, we are mortgage brokers. We do have a big focus on our client goals and where they're heading and looking at the big picture for them. Holistically, rather than being just transaction based, and we like to build tailored strategies for our clients when it comes to finance, and so they have a roadmap to move on from one property to multiple properties. That I think has been one of our key learnings in our own journey, to have an upfront idea of where you're heading and what's really possible for you. And we can be contacted via phone on 1-300-976-060 or info@propertytwins.com.au. It's facebook.com/propertytwins.com.au.
Thank you to Sana and Mona Ali, our guests on this episode of Property Invest Story. If you want to hear more about their journey, then visit our website at propertyinveststory.com. Simply type in the search bar Sana and Mona Ali and select that episode to learn more about their story. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.